Hey, it's the Pete here with Jeff.
Jeff.
There you go, Jeff Song.
Live in Japan.
Yes. Genki desu ka?
Hai, so desu. Ananta wa genki desu ka?
So mecha mecha genki. Does that work?
Mecha mecha genki?
I think that works.
Is that Osaka bin?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I just pick up all sorts of random ass phrases. Mecha mecha, I think, is very much or very much so. I guess I probably just should have said totemo.
I know naka naka maybe is quite.
Oh, see, naka is inside.
Mecha.
Weird.
Mecha mecha.
Yeah, I could be wrong. I think I picked it up from Pato Leiba. It's a Pat Labor. It's an old anime from the late 80s. Should have mentioned it last week. Actually, that's an awesome show. Their first series theme song is has that phrase metja something something something. But I just remember in the subs they translated it as very very or something. But anyway, totemo genki. That makes sense.
Totemo
lots of genki, lots of energy. Does that hopefully work?
That sounds
okay,
good.
Cool.
I'm trying to find mecha mecha. That's a new word for
it
me.
It might just be mecha just by itself. So, but anyway, this is Yomba, episode 4, number 4 of the NBG J-Cast, Nibaka Gaikokujin.
Yomban.
Yomban. Is that right?
Another exciting episode.
Yes, indeed. Hopefully the audio levels have stabilized a little bit, because the first couple of episodes we did, I was a little soft because I didn't have an actual mic, but now I have an actual mic and it's actually quite nice. It's not Sennheiser or whatever brand I said it was. It's Audio Technica. I don't know. Anyway, I guess it sounds good.
It sounds clear from my end.
Good deal. So, so let's see. So we wanted to talk about some more sort of traditional Japanese stuff, which is we were talking about doing something about the onsen for the.
Yeah, we talked about that. I guess 2 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we didn't go into too much about it, did we? I don't remember now.
No, we didn't, but I remember that I felt, you know, maybe I should have encouraged you more, you know, to try. You were saying you were a little bit, nervous about going to the onsen.
Well, for anybody who doesn't remember or hasn't listened to that episode because it's been a couple of weeks now, onsen is hot springs, right? Or it's a hot spring.
That's correct. A hot springs, a natural hot spring spa.
Gotcha. See, we don't even – I mean, I think most – Americans probably aren't even familiar with what this literally is. I mean, it's literally, you know, water heated by the earth, right? And it's just coming
exactly.
out of the ground. And it's like, I mean, I knew what a spring was, but when I first heard of the concept, you know, quite a while ago now, the idea of this, you know, naturally heated, you know, water, I just thought, well, that's bizarre. But I mean, that sort of keys into the whole earthquake, the ring of fire, as it's called, that Japan is on the edge of, geologically speaking, the idea of Japan just being a giant, you know, geological formation, you know, it's just like it formed because of the tectonic plates and volcanic stuff. And, you know, did Mount Fuji used to be a volcano? Maybe, I don't know. I should look that up.
I think that's right. I know that there's famously, I shouldn't have started this. Like, is it like it's like 5 plates,
wow.
You know, all come together, you know, under Mount Fuji or close to that area. Like, so I think so. The one I know is in – wow.
The onsen?
Well, there's an onsen. This is an onsen area, but I'm trying to think of my mind goes blank every time we're recording. But there's a like what's the famous? I've been there. It's like an onsen resort, but there's a volcano and it's always smoking. Huh. Like lake like it's Mount Asama, Asamayama. It's in Hakone. Hakone is a popular onsen onsen resort close to Tokyo, and that when you go and see Asamayama, it's always smoking. It's an active volcano, but I don't think it's erupted lately. So, but yeah, I think Please comment. Is Fuji a volcano? Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I'll look it up next time,
definitely. But anyway, so an onsen is just like a heated, you know, a naturally heated, you know, spa. But is it outdoors? Is it indoors or what? How does that work?
Well, it can be both. Mm-hmm. It can be outdoor or indoor. I've been to both, and outdoor are lovely because a lot of times you get a really nice view, like the outdoor ones, sometimes in the mountains. Like I've gone in winter and it's like snowing outside and you're just sitting under like, you know, a little roof in the onsen and it's just so warm and it's so cold outside. It's the most beautiful.
So you're in the water with just like what, naked, or you got a towel on, or how does that work?
Naked.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's weird.
I think most of the times you don't. In videos, you see people wearing towels, but that's just because it's a video. You know, like it's an active stratovolcano, Mount Fuji.
Wow.
And actually, 5 minutes later, I got your joke about Asamayama. Sorry. I had so much going on. I was trying to think of all these words. But it says it's the highest mountain in Japan. It last erupted in 1707.
Wow. Mount
Fuji.
Oh no! Which interrupted in 1907?
Mount Fuji.
Wow, that recently.
Mount Asama is in Hakone, I believe, and that's the one that I remember seeing. You know, smoking. It's an active complex volcano in Honshu, or maybe it's in. I'm sorry. Maybe I saw it in Nagano. I don't remember. You know, I traveled so much and I went to a lot of onsens my first, you know, few years here. And at that time, I didn't know the geography as well. You know, I was kind of just wandering around having fun.
Sure.
And so lately, I'm more aware of things. So there's like gaps in my knowledge, places I've been that at the time.
I'm the same way. I've been to Europe a couple times and there are places. I remember the countries I've been to, but inside the countries, I just remember locations and only the big names could I actually tell you where I've been. So I totally understand. But yeah. So, I mean, because to me, well, to a you know, a Westerner, I mean, what was that like getting used to being, you know, naked among strangers? I mean, because that's ultimately the concern that I have. Just sort of like,
You know, there's not much of a focus on that. I mean, it's more about relaxing and going there and, you know, and they have baths that are different temperatures and they even have like a cold one sometimes, like a cool down at some of the nicer onsen resorts. You usually go and you stay in a ryokan, which is a Japanese inn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the hotel usually or at the resort, they'll have, you know, hot springs and you go and you soak. And I've even been to some that have like, you know, like different herbs and stuff for your skin. And so those are some of the more modern ones. And then there's like river baths, which are like you're literally outside in like the river bathing. There's just all kinds of cool things. But it's a very popular you know, vacation here to go. I've been around the Izu Peninsula. I've been to Shimoda, Inatori, Hakone. I've been to Nasu onsens. I've been to, you know, just everywhere. But there's a lot of little resort towns and you go there and maybe do a little sightseeing and go back and you have a nice, you know, you stay in the ryokan and you have a nice dinner in your room and they bring you, you know, incredible food and make your futon for you. And, you know, then you go, you know, soak in the onsen.
Awesome,
and
when do we leave?
It's, you know, it's so relaxing.
Is there a time of year when people generally do this, go to, you know,
No, anytime. And some people even go on like day trips, like there's bus trips and a lot of women will go and they will, I mean, men too, but a lot of women is popular with their friends and they'll go to some place a couple hours out of Tokyo and just go literally on an onsen trip and they'll stop at a couple onsens and take a bath. And it's so relaxing. I mean, you know, first
you might go to two in one day or.
Sure, wow. Sure. And you actually, you know, first you take a shower. Mm-hmm. So first, and you have like the black onsen soap and you feel so clean and you usually shower, you know, there's a, like usually like sit on a little bucket,
right.
You know, the little bucket, and then you fill up. There's both a, like a shower head, and then there's also a kind of like a faucet, and you fill up buckets of water and pour hot water on you, and then you get in, and the water is really warm. But it's you know what? I think if you went, like the focus is like not so much on you know. I don't think anybody's looking at you, you know, because it's everyone's just relaxing.
But as a foreigner, you don't stand out. They're not like trying to check you out or anything. Because I always feel like, you know, in Japan, you always stand out because you're a foreigner, right? So I would think that
I never felt like that. You know, I don't know. Like the times I've went, it was very good. You know, you can also if you can get there's some hotels that have like a private onsen. I've had that before. You can like they might have a private onsen and you can, you know, block out a certain time to go. And I've done that before, you know, with you know, my girlfriend before. But like usually public onsens, no. And then there are the little sentos that I talked about, which are just kind of like neighborhood baths. But I was telling you a story about going hiking with my friend in the mountains, and then afterwards we went to an onsen just to relax. And once you get out of the city, although now, you know, near Tokyo Dome, there's a big amusement park with a roller coaster and a Ferris wheel and all stuff. And I don't know what you call it. It's like maybe Tokyo Dome City. That's where the I don't even know. The Tokyo Giants, the baseball team plays. They have concerts or two, but across the street, they have a special like onsen amusement park. And they have different, you know, it was like somebody said one time, Japanese people go on vacations to take a bath. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly right. They go, their vacation is like going to different places to take different baths. But it's really, it's like being in a jacuzzi or something, you know, but it's relaxing.
Well, I mean, you know, as a kid, I remember my folks had a timeshare, and so we would go spend weeks in various places within driving distance of our home in New Jersey. And so we'd end up in the Poconos or down in Virginia or whatever. And most of the resorts would have like, you know, like a sauna and then a jacuzzi and then a pool and all that sort of thing. And, you know, and so my folks would be like, they'd spend like a half an hour in a sauna and then they'd jump into the pool and the pool would be ice cold. And I'd like, what is that about? And I still don't get it. Like, I understand climbing out of a hot shower and having cold air hit you and it's refreshing, but like jumping in the water seems pretty extreme. So I'm curious about the experience of being in an onsen with winter, or an outdoor onsen while it's winter. I mean, like, you know, I mean,
well, I don't think that's a famous thing. I think that was just me. Like, I just like really loved a lot of the times we would go in winter. Like, and in fact, I remember seeing this Asama Yama. I'm waiting for your partner.
Oh, sorry.
Asama Mountain. And, but I remember like just sitting there and maybe this was in Kuruizawa in Nakano. I don't remember because it says it's in Nagano Prefecture, Mount Asama. But I remember just sitting there and it was like snowing and I'm like sitting there, you know, in the dark in this warm onsen, like looking at the mountain, you know, and it's like billowing smoke and it was just so beautiful. And, I liked the contrast of it, cold outside and the warm onsen. But I was going to say a lot of the onsen resorts do have saunas too, which I'm not a huge fan of saunas. They're okay. I mean, I'll try. Like a lot of it is with the bigger ones. You know, you can try out baths of different temperatures. Some are hotter. Some and like I said, a lot of them have a cool one, and then some have like maybe a little water falling. Gotcha. Or they have rocks on the side. One of my things I like to do is I like to put my neck on the rocks, kind of stretch my neck, you know, like kind of, you know, a little bit, you know, stretch my neck and just kind of like relax and lay there. And you do get a little, towel now. And a lot of men put the towel on their head, but if you're kind of a shy guy, you can, you know, take the towel when you're walking around and put the towel, you know, like you would a leaf or something if you were a Greek statue or something.
Well, I'm
you
not know, a Greek statue, but I'm going with the leaf.
Yeah, you can do, but when you get in the water, you don't really, you know, wear a towel. It's like, I don't know. It's weird. It's like, I almost felt, how do I say this in a strange way? Yeah, I almost felt like it was, I don't know, like I felt more natural than even being in a swimsuit in a lot of ways, because everybody's just kind of like in the same situation. Right,
yeah.
So it's,
well,
not.
It's, yeah. And I'm sure that's how I would feel. And eventually I'll face this demon. but
I wouldn't even look at it like that, because when you go, you'll have so much fun.
Yeah.
And it's,
oh,
so,
I'm sure. I'm
then
still going to look at it like that, just because that's how I am, unfortunately. Yeah. But I definitely appreciate your encouragement, and it's made me feel a little bit better.
Like if it, you know, you totally got to go, like, you know, and I'm sure like a Japanese friend will invite you, like, it's just very natural.
Okay. So, okay. We're at the 15 minute mark. So I want to move on to, actually we're at the 16 minute mark. So let's move on to our second segment where I take it back to the city, and let's talk about, you had mentioned you've been to Ginza. Now Ginza is like a big, so is it just a shopping area, or is it like, is there more to it? I mean, because I only know of it as like a shopping area, like not like Akihabara, but like it's just a general, like, you know, shopping area for lots of stuff, like, you know.
Oh, it's a beautiful, you know, probably the most upscale shopping area in Tokyo.
Okay.
It's world famous. At one time, the real estate there was the most expensive real estate in the
that's
world.
That's probably why. I mean, my experience with Ginza is strictly through textbooks. It seems like every Japanese language textbook I've owned has had, you know, uses Ginza as sort of like the standard. When you get to the part about shopping, when the word, you know, kaimono comes up, it's like Ginza is the go-to, you know, location, you know, Ginza ni kaimono o shimasu. I think that's right. Is that right? Going shopping in Ginza.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Like
kaimono.
That's always the example sentence is something about Ginza. And I always thought that was funny, cause I've had like three or four different textbooks and they all just mention Ginza. But,
well, I worked there my first year. I was very lucky, and it's famous for, you know, really nice department stores, really nice restaurants. It's close to Yorakucho and Tokyo Station, and it's wow, it's just a great place. I think in the weekends now they have Ginzadori closed off from traffic, so you can walk around. The name literally means silver coin mint.
Hmm.
Like Gin-iro is silver.
Huh.
So Ginza is silver coin mint. It's the kanji for silver, and then I guess coin mint. And it's
like, you mean like the making of a coin, or like a coin? Because coin mint?
In the making of a coin,
yeah.
In the Edo period, apparently. And it's next to Tsukiji. The next stop is Tsukiji on the Hibiya line. And Tsukiji is where the fish market is.
Oh, is that the famous
so
one
we
that,
used
like,
to go, eat,
go there at like 2 in the morning or something?
That's right. We used to go there and eat like the freshest
nice.
Sushi in Tsukiji.
That's cool.
It was just heaven. But it says it's an upscale area of Tokyo with numerous department stores, boutiques, restaurants, and coffee houses. And then some of the famous places, of course, Mitsukoshi Department Store Ginza, which is in Ginza Yonchome, which is incredible. The Kabukiza Theater, the big Kabuki
cool.
Theater. The Sony Building, where they debut a lot of new technology. Tokyo International Forum is very close to there near Yorakucho.
So Ginza is definitely a place
also
that, you know, if you go to Tokyo on business or even on vacation, this is a place that you're going to want to check out. You know, it's like, it sounds to me like it's a Beverly Hills kind of comparison.
It's kind of like, what would you say in New York, like Fifth Avenue, like all
yeah.
the upscale department stores have,
probably like,
you know,
in New York, it actually is pretty spread out these days. I mean, with Beverly Hills, I mean, that like that whole city seems to exist just to sell expensive crap. So like, cause there's Tiffany's and then there's like all these, you know, it's all on Wilshire Boulevard. There's like loads and loads of stores there. But in New York, it does feel like more spread out. I mean, cause it used to be Union Square was all the area, were all the shopping areas. And then, but there's also 34th Street with Macy's. Macy's takes up a whole square block. Is there like a Macy's in Ginza that's like a huge square block, multi-floored monstrosity with just everything you could possibly want to buy in it? Like a Harrods or something?
Yeah, I mean, there's like Mitsukoshi, which is probably the most famous. Matsuzakaya. One of the things I love about those department stores is they have rooftop gardens. Mm. And they actually have a shrine on the roof.
Wow.
A little like, I guess, Shinto shrine. And we would sometimes eat lunch up there. But during the summer, they have beer gardens on the roof of those department stores. Which I guess beer gardens are German, but they have beer gardens in Tokyo. So yeah,
like
they have some
Japan,
great.
That's for sure.
The Nikon camera store is there.
Or Nikon, as we say in the U.S.
Exactly. The Apple Ginza store.
Right. Yeah, I want to go there.
Like just everything. Cool. It's just a great place to walk around. It's very Shibui, very elegant and tasteful and classy.
You said before we started recording you taught there, or actually during the recording you said you taught there, but what was, you said you had a view outside your window
of Ginza Yonchome, yeah, and the Wako clock.
Wako
department store has the most beautiful window displays. I mean, they changed them, and like I went to an exhibit one time and it was just photos of Wako window displays. And the Wako clock in Ginza, it wasn't originally the Wako clock. It was the something else clock. But if you look at the photos after the Tokyo air raids in World War II, all of Ginza is all bombed out, and that clock is still standing.
Wow.
You know, in like, you know, 1945, around that time. And so – but anyway, it's like still there. It's so beautiful. But Ginza is just a really – you know, beautiful. It's not necessarily a place to get the best deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I was saying to you, I went there one time to a place and it was like 1,000 yen for one cup of coffee.
Jesus.
No
That's
refills.
I mean, roughly 10 bucks.
Yeah, or more now, like with the
That's
exchange
true.
Rate. Like, and, you know, but it's a great place. But there's some great restaurants there. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, it's a place you should definitely go if you – you know, have a few days in Tokyo and you just want a nice place to walk around. And I remember there was a place there that sold like greeting cards and paper products and stationery. And it was just the most, they had some of the most beautiful, you know, just paper products, like handmade cards and stuff that I've ever seen.
Cool. Well, it definitely sounds impressive, but make sure you save
it. It's on the Hibiya. Yeah, it's not like discount city, but Ginza has changed as the economy's changed. Like I know, like there's a big, do you know Uniqlo?
Sure, yeah, they're here. They're big in the U.S. actually. Well, not big, but I mean, they're certainly in New York and L.A. They have stores. They have clothing stores.
They have a big store now, and it's expanded in Ginza. That fast retailing, I believe the CEO of fast retailing is the wealthiest man in Japan now. And he started Uniqlo, like unique clothes,
right.
Uniqlo. And and that's more of a discount store. So it has changed. It's not, you know, all inaccessible.
Cool.
But Ginza is on, let's see, the Tokyo Metro Hibiya line, the Ginza line, and the Marunouchi line. So
a few trains
stop on by.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good deal. Now this is a nice segue into the last segment. Are there movie theaters in Ginza?
Oh, yeah. The one I remember the most is like, what is it? Marunouchi Piccadilly? Mm. That's a
Piccadilly,
good one.
Really?
There's one.
That's funny.
That's the name of it. And there's like Seibu department stores in Yorakucho. There's a big movie theater. And yeah, so that's a good place to go see a movie too.
Cool. Yeah. Cause, before anything else, I am a movie buff, and I'm always interested in movies and how you watch movies and just what movies are like from other cultures. Because I mean, I kind of have grown to despise American films pretty much these days. And I've seen a couple movies in other countries, and it is different. And I'm always amazed at how, you know, it different an experience it is. And so I imagine it's probably not that different because Japan is fairly Americanized-ish. maybe. So, I mean, do they, like, when you go to the movies, like, is it like, are there multiplexes? Or are they really common? Or do you see occasional movie theaters that are like single screen? And, you know, do you like eat popcorn? Is it really like an American experience?
Yeah, I think that there are, you know, some single screens, definitely, especially in the city. And, you know, I've gone to a few just because I tend to like, you know, independent films or, you know, something that doesn't have a huge, you know, like I always pick some art film that's only showing in a smaller theater. But yeah, there's multiplexes. There was a really nice one that I used to go to, and because I'm talking on a podcast, I'll never be able to remember the name. Toshimaen is an area that has a big – that's a really cool multiplex. But, you know, it's very nice. You can reserve a seat. Wow. When you buy your ticket. You can actually reserve – choose your seat.
That's a new thing here. You know, we just started doing that, and not even in most theaters. Most theaters are not assigned seating. But like there's a
– general.
There's a theater in LA that does that called the Cinerama Dome, or I guess it's the Arclight Cinema now. And they do assigned seating, and I think there's a theater here in New York that does it. Honestly, I don't get out to the movies that much these days, so I don't know. But that's big in Europe, assigned seating as well, which was bizarre because we went to the movies once in Scotland, and you know it was just very strange having assigned seating at the movies. So I mean, is that I guess that's good though, right? I mean, it helps. You know,
so yeah, you can choose
get there early to get a good seat. You know, you've already got a good seat.
I haven't gone to the movies as much recently, but I just remember, you know, people lining up, you know, like to go, like when I first came here for movies that were popular, to get tickets and then lining up before the movies started, and just little things that were different to me that I noticed. They have wonderful movie posters and movie cards to advertise other films. I don't know if they have that in the States. I don't remember. But some of those I would take as like souvenirs and even send them to friends back home. They're free. But it would be like mini little movie posters that you could keep, like really cool. And then the other thing is people getting there early and then like leaving their bag to go to the bathroom or something.
Wow, and that's safe to do? I would never do that here.
Yeah, and me thinking like in the States, like it would be gone. Because I remember one time, like when I was in high school, I had a girlfriend and she had like this, I guess it was like a leather jacket. Mm-hmm. And we went to this like 100 yen movie theater. What a great place, right? But we went to this 100 yen movie theater and she realized when we left the movie that she lost her jacket. Or she left her jacket. And we went back and it was like, it couldn't have been like 3 minutes. And somebody had taken the thing. It was gone. Somebody stole a jacket.
This is in Japan.
No. This was in the States when I was in high school.
Oh, because you said you went to a 100 yen theater. That's why I was confused.
Oh, I'm sorry. A dollar theater. Gosh, I've been here too long. We went to the dollar
gotcha.
Movies.
Right.
You know, and it was like the dollar – I don't know if they still have those in the States, dollar movie theater.
Well, they don't. But, we have second run theaters, and so there'll be cheaper prices. I don't think we have any in New York anymore though. I think the last one closed. I could be wrong though.
We used to have the dollar. Anyway, it was like literally 3 seconds – I mean 3 minutes later, you know, somebody had stolen a – and it wasn't even like that expensive, and it was just like – we were just shocked like gosh, you know, like
– yeah.
You know, and in Japan when I first came here, it's like people leave their bags to, you know, to hold their seat, to hold their seat.
That's so strange. I would never leave
you know,
my bag anymore.
And it was like yeah, but here you would. And I do all the time. Like I'll be in a restaurant, like if I'm just in like a restaurant by myself and like I need to go to the bathroom or something, I'll just leave my bag at the table, you know, and like not even think about it, you know. So it's that kind of thing is just like a lot of the reason people love to live here because it's just such a wonderful place in that sense. And then like what else did I think the other thing is like people sitting through the credits.
They do that.
I don't know if they do that in New York.
It's sort of half and half. There are people that do it. I do it, but I come from a film background. So, you know, man went to film school. So it's like, you know, it's just out of respect, but most people don't. Most people do get up and leave. Do they do that?
I think it might be changing a little bit here, but
so they do.
Yeah, most people do, and because just to listen to the music and read the credits, and yeah, people seem more respectful of films.
Yeah,
you know, in general, Like, they seem more respectful of, you know, it's an event to go. Although, like, it seems like it has changed because of just the availability of DVDs and stuff. Like, I remember going to more movies when I first came here. Like, I haven't gone to as many movies lately. You know, but yeah, it's a nice event, and there's some wonderful – there's a new theater that opened at Roppongi Hills. You know, that's a great Tower. Like – yeah.
I know so little about and there's a lot of geography, so I like to show off when I know.
It's close, and like they've opened up the new Tokyo Midtown, but Roppongi Hills is a big shopping center. They have many stores and restaurants, and they have a great movie theater, and also they have the Mori Museum, which is a great museum. There's a great multiplex.
Jump back to the movies real quick, or jump back to the process of going. Now, do they have popcorn, or are you discouraged from eating anything during the movie?
Oh, they definitely have popcorn. It doesn't seem like it's as popular. Like, you know, just to paint everything with a broad brush is always like my Japanese friends don't seem like they're as into it. I don't know why. But yeah, they have like concessions. They have hot dogs. They have popcorn. They have beer. Wow. They have, you know, like, yeah, anything really. Like,
so I could go and I could get like a popcorn with butter on it and then just enjoy it like an American movie, like an American movie theater, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they usually have like butter and like caramel corn and candy and you know they might have you know different snacks and they definitely have concessions. So but the thing is, I don't think there's any rule against bringing in your own food
really?
Either. I don't think.
See, that's un-American so. Right there. You can get in trouble.
Really?
They call them picnickers, and I've actually known of instances where people have been kicked out of the theater because they've been caught. You know, sneaking in soda. Most of the time, nobody cares. But really, I mean, to me, it's like, well, that's where the movie theater really makes its money. So I feel like it's kind of your job. I mean, even if you're not big into popcorn or you don't want to eat anything, I mean, it's like, it's sort of like tipping, which I guess they don't do in Japan either. So.
No, there's no tipping. Yeah.
So, but to me, it's like.
None at all. You know, I was amazed when I went to New York because in New York, the standard is like 20%, right?
It's actually 15, but they pressure you. Like I was at a diner a couple of months ago and like I only tipped 15 and I was having a meeting with a friend of mine but it was like it was a business meeting kind of thing. And so we're sitting there and it took several hours and the waitress took me to task for only giving 15%, but you've been here for like 4 hours. We could have had loads of people through this on this table. And I'm like, yeah, but the place is empty.
Wow.
And the place was empty, which is why it was no big deal. And
well, the standard in America is 15%, but yeah, like when I was in New York, you know, when I met you, everyone was saying, yeah, you better give, you know, 20%, but yeah, there's no tipping here at all. Like it's, you know, it's a weird thing. I don't think bringing outside food in, like, I'm sure it's not encouraged, but it just doesn't seem as discouraged here. Like I've known, I've been out with a friend and maybe they wanted to eat something in a different place. And so they just bought something and then brought it in and ate with me. Or like I've gone to like coffee shops and like bought coffee, but then brought my own sandwich or something. Like, I mean, this isn't like, please, if you live in Japan and you're hearing this, you know, it might be one of those things that like people overlook, but it's not really polite. So I'm not saying you should do this. It's just kind of like drinking beer on the train. Like there's no law against it and people do it all the time, but it's not really considered like really polite,
but it's not
like forbidden either. Like, you know, so it's one of those things where like maybe they just are more tolerant, you know.
Okay, cool. So,
but I'm sure
so
they
can have like a,
encouraging people to bring in outside food
because they want you to buy. But it's not as militant as it is here. I mean, I was a huge moviegoer for many, many, many years, and I always felt the pressure, you know, to not bring in. And then, you know, I drink the Kool-Aid, you know, of paying for popcorn. So like my attitude is you should buy.
Well, no, I mean, I usually buy. But for me, it's like it's more just because I'm disorganized. I'm not smart enough to
buy. Planning ahead and stuff. So.
Yeah, I just I just like to just go and enjoy it when I'm there. And I like pop. I'm a big popcorn fan. Usually I'll get one of the largest, and my friend, my Japanese friend, will say, oh, I'll eat some too. And then they never eat it. And then I wind up eating a whole bucket of popcorn myself. Nice. But
that works out well, in my opinion, because you get all the popcorn.
But yeah.
Anyway, well, cool. All right. So that's movie going in Japan. Let's move on to the phrase of the week.
Oh, the phrase of the week. Okay. So
now I went ahead and actually I looked it up because I don't I my vocabulary is still very limited. Where did I put my
Okay.
phone? Okay. All right. Yeah. So
this was
last week's phrase of the week, kutsu o nugu or kutsu o nugimasu with the
That's correct.
Being silent on the end there.
Sono tori. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Exactly.
As a Hero Man anime reference for anybody who's doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about or we're talking about here. Okay, so kutsu o nugu. Kutsu is shoes, and
kutsu
nugu is to take off one's clothing. Right. That's the dictionary.
That's correct.
So
yes.
It's literally when you go into a Japanese home. You have to kutsu o nugu, take off your shoes.
That's right.
Very useful phrase.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's a verb that I haven't used as much, believe it or not. And that's why I chose it, because I wanted to remember it too.
Cool. Well, awesome. Do you have another phrase for us this week?
I was going to say, dozo kutsu o nuide kudasai. Take off your shoes, please.
Oh, but you just gave it away.
No. Oh, that was using nugu.
Nugu, okay.
Okay, this week.
Say that again. Dozo what?
Okay. Hang on a second. I want to make sure I pronounce it right.
Dozo.
Okay. Dozo is like please. Like so, dozo kutsu o nuide kudasai.
Nuide.
That's the te form of nugu.
Gotcha.
And it's like, please take off your shoes, like nuide kudasai. Please. Well, actually, I should say kutsu o nuide kudasai. That sounds dirty. It's like, take off your clothes or something. Right. I don't know.
That's funny. Cool. Okay, so do you have a new phrase for us this week, then?
I do. And I hope this one won't be so difficult. Atarashi noto o kau. Atarashi noto o kau. Or atarashi o kau.
Okay. I'll put that on the show notes as well. But go ahead. So,
I can say atarashi noto o kaimasu.
Noto o kaimasu?
Kaimasu.
Okay.
So the same meaning, kau and kaimasu.
I haven't heard that one, but I've heard kaimasu, so I know what that means. But I won't give it away. Cool. So
okay, yeah, don't give it away. Yeah, so we have to keep them in suspense.
Right, listeners,
himitsu.
Dig out your
secret.
Himitsu. Okay, that's another good word. So listeners, get out your Japanese dictionaries, or maybe you know this. Leave a comment and on the post at j.thepete.com, and that's the letter J. And if you know what this is, let us know, and we'll mention it next week if you leave a post. So cool! But this is the end of Yomba, episode 4 of the NBG JCast. I've been
Owarimasu.
Oh, yeah, owarimasu.
Owarimasu. Yes,
we're done. Finished. Well, for this week anyway. This has been the Pete, and that's been
the Jeff. Yeah. This has been Jeff. I'm sorry. I wanted to say that one time.
You can be the Jeff. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I don't think I can live up to that, but it's been so much fun talking about Japanese with you in Japan, and it's been a fun episode.
Cool. And yeah, so thank you very much for listening, everybody, and we will see you next week on the NBG Nibaku Gaikokujin podcast.
Uraishu mo kite kudasai.
So desu ne. All right, Jane.
Jane, have a good week.